forward 100 years to Korea, 1992. Korea creates its own version of Tin Pan Alley. They have their own Irving Berlin type, and it's this guy Lee Soo-man. At the time, Korea's in this export boom. It's the early 90s. It's the era of the boy band, Boys to Men, New Kids on the Block. And Koreans have this brand new disposable income, and they're starting to spend it on music. And this guy, Lee Soo-man, figures, let's build a business around this. Let's build a business around creating pop hits. I called Mark Russell about this. He wrote this great book, Pop Goes Korea.
Turning that modern pop idol phenomenon into a factory. He industrializes it. He creates a training system. He teaches the kids, you know, how to sing, how to dance, how to behave. He wants it very, very clean cut.
Then in the mid-90s, Lee Soo-man got the big break that let him know he was onto something. This is H.O.T. It stands for High Five of Teenagers, actually. But this band was huge in the mid-90s. Lee Soo-man created this group from top to bottom. And other record labels saw this, and they started doing the same thing, building a business around the boy bands.
Okay, so let's get to lesson two for worldwide pop music success. All right, you've industrialized the product, right? How do you get it out to obsessed teenagers of the world? Okay, let's start again in America. The American music industry took off when they started to take control of the distribution system. A hit song isn't a hit unless everybody hears it. So in America, that meant the phonograph record, of course, and then radio. And then after the Depression, a nifty piece of high-tech distribution.
The jukebox saved the record industry.
The jukebox is amazing because it immediately created this demand for records. And soon enough, every bar and diner had a jukebox, and they all needed records. And even better, it had to be the kind of record that lots of people wanted to hear. And because this was a machine that played them, you knew for the first time statistics, what people were playing. And, you know, Eric Weisbart tells this story about record executives watching a waitress like work a very long shift, hearing this song over and over again, and then when everybody goes home, she puts money in the jukebox and listens to the same song again. And this was a wake-up call to the music industry.
Oh my God, there is no end to the number of times we should be playing our hit songs.
And American music adapted to the jukebox. Pop music became louder, faster, more fun. Music for groups, not just sitting with Ma and Pa and singing along to Oh Susanna. Top 40 radio was essentially a radio version of the jukebox. America had its distribution system.
All right, now Korea. Korea learned the same lesson about technology, but their huge advantage is that they didn't come of age in the jukebox era. In America, pop music means audio, right? Like, we invented pop music when all you could do was listen to it. In Korea, pop music always comes with an image. This is Big Bang, an incredibly popular Korean pop band, releasing a record on a TV show called Inkigayo. New country has a new infrastructure. While our record labels were built on the radio system, Korea's were built on television. We called up Danny Im. He's this hip-hop star from back in the 90s in Korea. And he remembers, when you release a song in Korea, you debut it on national television.
In Korea, basically almost everything's national television. So, because it's such a small country. So everyone sees everything.
From the very beginning, Koreans were used to looking for Korean music on their screens. To get new music, they watched television, and everyone was watching the same thing. And this is going to turn out to be a huge competitive advantage for Korea.
Yeah, because the third thing you need to have to take over the world, the third lesson of pop music domination is this. You have to combine the industrial product, your hits from the hit factory, and the technology you have at hand into a neat little package. This isn't exactly the package I'm referring to, the boy band NSYNC from the year 2000. Now, I'm referring to the way in which people heard this music, which was a brand new technology CDs, compact discs. And the amazing thing about CDs were that you could ship these things anywhere in the world. They were small. They were light. This was a way that global music happened. And so when the boy band NSYNC released this album, No Strings Attached, they sold 2 million copies in a single week. The record industry has never done better.
The Korean music industry came of age with a different neat little package. Their answer to lesson number three, it's YouTube. Korea is one of the most wired countries in the world. The moment the country was online, everyone was online, and everyone had a little phone, and everyone was watching videos on tiny little screens.
Listen, boy. My first love story.
This song is G by the Korean pop group Girls' Generation, and it's really worth just watching the video while I explain this, because that's kind of the point of this song, is the video. The record labels in Korea figured out pretty quick that to get to their audience, they had to go to YouTube. This group of girls, Girls' Generation, they look like they were born on YouTube. This is not a group that had a song and then made a video later. The video in Korea is always a part of the way the music is released.
I think they originally put them up to connect with, you know, local Korean fans.
David Marks works for Google, and it's his job to watch trends in East Asia. And he says these videos were a hit in Korea. But then something else remarkable happened. When the Korean record labels started putting all these videos up,
They soon found that, you know, people around the world were watching it. In a lot of cases, the majority of the views were coming from overseas.
The labels saw there was a huge market for bands like Girls' Generation outside Korea. On YouTube, you can see who's watching and where they are. And it turns out it was people in Europe. It was a lot of people in Japan. It was people everywhere. And that's how the record labels knew where to tour. They knew their customers wanted them before they even got there. A year ago, Girls' Generation sold out Madison Square Garden.
To sum it up, Korea learned the three important lessons of pop music dominance. Let's recap them. Industrialize your product, find a distribution mechanism, and wrap it all up in a neat little package. So 20 years of hard work, innovation, jumping on the latest technology, all of this laid the groundwork for this guy.